Well, I explained earlier about the choice of the sermon topic and why I'm here, and I totally believe it, that we need to be trusting and faithful in the Holy Spirit and in His guidance. And I kind of got tickled at Elaine. I was telling her when I called her back and told her that, no, Marilyn and I had decided we were just going to be here. She says, wow, she says, I admire your trust and your faith, but we all should be that way. We should all have that kind of faith to know that the Holy Spirit is leading us. So I'm going to be reading from a couple of chapters in John 14 to start with, starting at verse 25 through 27. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Then John 16, 13 through 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. In the book Invitation to Pilgrimage by John Bailey writes, I am sure that the bit of road that most requires to be illuminated is the point where it forks. And if you think about it, he's right. There's no place in our life's journey where we need more light than when we come to some crucial fork in our life or some crucial decision that we have to make to determine which direction we're going. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, rich or poor, it makes no difference. We all come across those times in our life, many, many times in our life, where we have to make a decision. And sometimes that decision is difficult to make. Now, we all realize that we have free will. We have the free will to move in whatever direction we choose. But the issue beyond the freedom to be able to choose our direction, it lies with how do we choose? And when we come to those forks in the road to which we all come, how do we determine the direction that we go or our destiny? How do we make those choices? Well, starting off with in Luke 4, remember when Jesus was baptized and He came up out of the Jordan, Luke tells us Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. Now, there's two key things in that verse. Led by the Spirit, tempted by the devil. Matthew puts it a little bit differently. Matthew 4:1, he says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, in Matthew's version, that kind of puts a bad light on it. It would make you think that the Holy Spirit was taking Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. And that's not really what it's talking about. What it's really talking about is that in life, when we're dealing with things, even though we are led by the Spirit, we are going to face temptations. It's just a part of life. Satan loves nothing better than try to confuse us and turn things around. When you think you hear the Holy Spirit and you think to yourself, I'm just hearing things. Or you look at the world around you and you think, well, I think it should go this way. Just like Marilyn and I had decided we were going to leave for Chicago at 9 o'clock this morning, and we're here with our congregation because God had a different idea. And we have to stop and consider, as we are led by the Spirit, that the devil is a pretty good opponent. And we have a tendency to see the devil as being very small. And he is not small. He is a formidable foe. And any time we get into those decision-making situations, it's just like the cartoon with the angel on one ear and the devil on the other ear, and they're fighting in your head. And it's interesting that the Bible Sunday school lesson this morning was talking about listening and trust. Well, that's the whole key to being led by the Holy Spirit. It's listening and trust. And even though the devil would like to get in there and say, no, that's not what you heard, or no, it'd be easier if you did it this way. We have to be careful not to listen to those things. And if you'll think about it, while Jesus was in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights, he had to have gotten pretty hungry, physically hungry. So what was the first thing that Satan attacked when the Bible tells us he started tempting him? If you are the Son of God, command those stones to become loaves of bread. He attacked his physical. What was Jesus' response? Right out of the Bible. He quoted scripture right back at him. So the devil knows our needs. He knows just as well as God does, but he tries to twist it the other direction. He tries to use those things against us, where the Holy Spirit is trying to use those things for us, to help us. We let those physical things interfere so often in our lives because we think we know how it's supposed to go. Or we think to ourselves, in my experience, this is what needs to happen. Well, maybe not this time. And we let that get in the way. And sometimes as we're trying to make those decisions and we let the world around us try to stray us, we finally give up and we say, well, I'll just wait and I'll wait and see what the Lord decides. Let the Lord tell me. And I'm not here to diminish the whole idea of waiting on God, but there are times when God does expect us to grapple with our own issues with the resources that he has given us. It's not that he's abandoning us. He knows that we have the ability to make the right decision. We just have to stop and think about it. We have to be confident in those little voices in our minds and in our hearts, that spirit talking to us and telling us, this is what you need to do. You have to take risks sometimes. You have to step into the Jordan before it parts. You can't stand there on the shore. If you're going to walk on water, you're going to get your feet wet. You have to be willing to make some decisions. God gives you all kinds of resources for that. Another problem that we seem to have in our decision making is we want God to prove himself. How often have we thought to ourselves, as we're making those decisions, okay, God, if this is the right decision, then this is what's going to happen. God doesn't like to be tested. And you have to be careful that you don't do that very often. Do it every once in a while. I mean, I think it's just normal human behavior. You're going to wonder sometimes. But be careful about testing God. He knows where we are. He knows the risks. And he doesn't need to be proven. We know he's there. We have to have a good connection with God, and that is provided to us through the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says when he left, he would be sending us an advocate. He knew we would need somebody there within us to help us, to guide us. And then we asked ourselves, okay, if I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit, how do I do that? And the best way to let the Holy Spirit guide you is through prayer. Prayer is the answer to all things spiritual and guiding in our life. And prayer, as I've said many, many times, is more than just talking at God. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. The core concept behind prayer is listening. It is listening to Jesus, who lives in our heart through the Holy Spirit. The problem with us praying and listening is there's so much noise going on around us, and I'm not talking about sound noise as much as I am just the noise in our lives, the problem we have when we get still and start to listen is we start thinking about things in our head. We start running things through our minds. Oh, what do I got to do tomorrow? What do I got to do this afternoon? Or, you know, we don't get quiet enough to listen. We have this noise in and around ourselves. We have to learn to deal with that and understand that listening and having a spiritual connection with the Holy Spirit and God is something that you have to discipline yourself for. It's not something that you're going to learn overnight. It's something that you have to take baby steps. You have to learn to be quiet and listen. Something I've mentioned before too, you'll notice I don't say real long prayers. I say what needs to be said, and that's enough, because I know that if I stand up here and start praying like I've heard some and get 5-10 minutes going, after the first 30 seconds, I've lost you. You're listening to that noise in your head. You're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch this afternoon, or, you know. That's why he says make them short and concise and learn to listen and listen with God. Don't pray at God. And sometimes it's so difficult to listen to that still, small, quiet voice. And sometimes it's hard for us to trust that voice. It's not that we don't trust God. We don't trust the voice we hear. So we have to kind of work at that. Henry Nouwen, who's written many theological books, in one of his books he puts it this way. He says, "For me personally, prayer becomes more and more a way to listen to the blessings." He says, "I have read and written much about prayer, but when I go to the quiet place to pray, I realize that, although I have a tendency to say many things to God, the real work of prayer is to become silent and listen to the voice that says good things about me." And he also advises that the best way to listen when you're praying is do it with a sacred text. What better than the Bible? When you kneel down to pray, take a Bible with you. Lay it open in front of you, or open it up to a favorite verse and read that verse before you pray. Or some book that you've really enjoyed reading about the Bible or about God. Pray with a sacred text. And then start contemplating those deepest issues that you are struggling with. And then seek out the answers, because he'll give them to you. They call this a living book. It is. You'll read a verse today and it'll mean something to you, and you read that exact same verse a month from now and it'll mean something entirely different. That's how he talks to you. One of the ways he talks to you. Now, and also tells us that there's three forms of listening, or things that we should do. First, he says, listen to the church. He believes the greatest danger to the church and society today is its attempt to separate Jesus from the church. Jesus is an integral part of the church. You cannot take Jesus out of the church, or you don't have church. Listening to the church is to listen to Christ, listening to Jesus. Secondly, he says, listen to the Word. That is, read the Bible, study the Bible, read books about the Bible, read the works of some great theologists. You should want to increase your knowledge of spiritual things. You should thirst and starve for the Word that makes you want to own God's Word. You should want to know it inside out. You should want to own God's Word. Finally, he says, listen to your heart. It is within your heart that Jesus speaks to us in his most intimate manner. And whatever you do, never stop listening to that small voice within your heart. And listening has to be a deliberate act, something that you have to work at. Have you ever heard that voice and you thought to yourself, is it just your subconscious, or maybe somebody is hiding behind you and whispering and playing a joke on you or something? Do you think it's unusual that you would hear God's voice? Max Lucado says, why should you be so surprised when God speaks to you? He spoke to a shepherd from a burning bush. He spoke to a lot of people. Why should it be unusual for him to speak to you? Because no matter where we find ourselves, no matter where we are, where we think we are, or where we should be, God talks to us. He talks to us in our hearts. He talks to us in our minds. He talks to us through our loved ones. He talks to us through our closest friends. He even talks to us through people that we might barely or not even know. He talks to us in many, many different ways. And we have to learn to trust that and trust God. I know most of you in here have grandchildren, little ones. Have you ever stood next to your big master bed and have the baby standing up on the bed and they're looking at you and they're smiling and they're getting ready to run? And you're standing there with your arms out and they're teasing you and they're saying, "Oh, back up, back up." And you're thinking, "Oh, I don't really need to be doing this," but you're thinking in a worldly manner. And all of a sudden, that young child goes charging across that bed and right into your arms, and you catch him. And you just have a good old time. That's the way God wants us to come to Him. That kind of trust. Like that little child running across that bed, knowing you're going to catch it. That's the kind of trust we're supposed to have. So trust the voice that's in your head. Trust those things that God tells you. Because God's way and God's timing is always perfect. Completely perfect. We don't have to necessarily understand it, but it's always perfect. And God's faithfulness doesn't depend on our faithfulness. He is faithful even when we aren't. Even when we lack the courage to step off into the Jordan. He's made a history out of using people in spite of themselves. So remember, when you get to that fork in the road or that time where you've got to make that decision or you're trying to make something happen a certain way and it just isn't going to happen, that there's a reason for that. And that maybe God, through the Holy Spirit, is telling you, "No, I want you to do it this way." And don't make Him try to prove Himself. And don't fall for the lesser god of Satan. Commit yourself fully. Serve God only. Trust Him. Because that's what it's about. It's about trust. It's about trusting God. It's about trusting the Holy Spirit. And if we truly believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no doubt that He is leading you on the right path. There will be no doubt in your life ahead. Well, everything will be just as God wants it to be. So we have to pray often, listen carefully, and trust. Always trust, even when things are not going the way you think they should. I found a couple of things on Facebook. Some of you may have already seen these. This kind of fits in perfectly with this. Never discredit your gut instinct. You're not being paranoid. Your body can pick up on vibrations. If something deep inside of you says something is not right, trust it. You don't always need to understand your journey in life. You just need to trust that you're going in the right direction. Exactly. And there's a little blurb about waiting. Joseph waited 13 years. He was in prison. Abraham waited 25 years. Moses waited 40 years. Jesus waited 30 years to fulfill His mission. So if things aren't happening exactly the way you think they should, and they're not happening when you think they should, there is a reason. And let the Holy Spirit lead you in the right direction, along the right path. And you will be thankful for it when you get there. Amen.